Em, before we start, I want to say something.
Oh, cold opening, Gav. Okay.
Yes. I would like to ask our followers to pause the recording, go to their social network, and tell all of their followers, friends, colleagues, family, about Gav and Em's podcast. Because, Em, we need to spread the word.
Sure, Gav.
We want everybody to enjoy Gav and Em's How to English podcast, and we want to encourage more listeners, readers, contributors, and other fabulous teachers and learners of languages to join us in the show.
Well, you've certainly got their attention with that opening, so I hope it's gonna work.
In that case, Em, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everybody. This is How to English. Teach and Learn with Gav and Em.
It's a podcast about teaching and learning English as a foreign language.
All opinions stated are personal and references will be given when necessary.
And here we are again.
Is this a warm opening now?
We are now safely into the fuzzy warmness of Gav and Em's podcast, where we are literally going to teach and learn through the show.
With ourselves. Yes, we are. And it's a very cosy place. I've got my cup of tea, I've got my comfy chair, and I've got good company.
And we're going to be joined by another fabulous person. So let's go. Today's episode, Em, is called Experience.
And are we going to be talking about our history, lives? What kind of experience are we going to be talking about?
We are going to listen to another teacher talk about their experience, and we're going to break it down and have a good old chin wag about experience. So this could be about the experience of learning English, teaching English, and all of the things that that might encompass, Em. So let's begin today with our special featured guest teacher and learner, who is Felipe. He comes from Brazil and has a fantastic social media presence on both TikTok and Instagram. And you can find him on TikTok at Inglês com Felipe or on Instagram Inglês com Felipe 1. And he's going to talk about his own experience of how he became a teacher and his fun and motivating method of teaching English to his students.
I'm really looking forward to this one, Gav. And so shall we have a listen?
Here we go.
What's up, guys? How are you doing today? Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate the invitation. And congratulations on the work that you're doing. I'm sure you're helping a lot of students, a lot of English learners around the world. And I saw that you guys have the audio script for the show, and that's really cool. As an English learner myself, I think that's really helpful, and for sure I'm going to recommend that to my followers and to my students. So, great job, and thank you again. So, just a brief introduction. My name is Felipe Coelho. That's F-E-L-I-P-E-C-O-E-L-H-O. Funny fact, Coelho means rabbit in Portuguese, but that's a common name here in Brazil. I'm from Brazil, from a city called Fortaleza, that's in northeast of the country, and it's a city by the ocean. It's really pretty. You guys should visit when you have a chance. But basically, I've always been passionate about English. English is not my first language. Portuguese is. And I've always liked learning the language, but I've never had a guide or someone to guide me in this process and make it easier for me, or, you know, just giving me some tips about pronunciation or expressions or things to say and cultural aspects of the language. I've never had that. And when I was learning, there was no YouTube, there were no apps or any tools that are so available nowadays, and it makes it easier for someone who's learning English. And like podcasts like yours, I wish I had something like that when I was learning. So basically, that's one of the reasons that I became a teacher, because I wanted to be that person to my students, you know, to bring my experience, because I believe English is a lot about experience with the language. I've lived in the U.S. for 7 years. I went there to New York City to study business management. I graduated from the King's College, New York City. It's a small school. Used to be at the Empire State Building. Now it's in the Financial District. And I that was like one of the best, if not the best experience I've ever had in my entire life. It was so life-changing. It was something that changed me really forever, you know, like to have the opportunity to meet people from so many countries, you know, like how New York City is a melting pot of cultures and different people and diversity, and that's really, really cool. I've made many friends there, and really, like, getting better at English really opened so many doors for me, and I'm so thankful for that experience and for really having this language as a tool for me to achieve so many things and so many dreams, really. And that's something that I like to bring to my students as well. So I study business management in school, and I worked in the area for a couple of years in the United States. And when I decided to come back to Brazil, I wasn't happy there. I wasn't happy at that job and doing what I was doing. And when I came back to Brazil, I decided I wanted to do something that I really love. And English, to me, was the number one thing on that list. So I made that choice knowing this wouldn't bring me much money because, you know, like if you are a teacher at a school, you're not going to get much money. So I did that for a while, got some experience. And after that, I, you know, started having my own students, my own private students, one-on-one classes. And basically, that's what I've been doing for the past 10 years. I believe I also do some translation freelance services on the side, and I really enjoy doing that as well. And a year and a half ago, I started my TikTok account, and you know, was posting consistently every day, and then you know, little by little, it started growing, and I also started my Instagram account, and I just wanted to have fun with it, and showing common mistakes that we Brazilians make when we are learning English, and mistakes that I have made myself in the past, and I think people started relating to that. You know, they saw themselves in me, like being in embarrassing situations and making certain mistakes. And I think people could see themselves in those videos. And so the feedback I got was that people were learning, but also they were having fun. And that really showed me how important it is not only to teach, you know, but also like to, but also not take yourself too seriously, you know, just have fun in the process, because I think a lot of people struggle with learning that, you know, learning English, learning a second language. Sometimes they have to do that because of work and because their job requires them to, and that sometimes give them stress. And I try to remove that part and then to show people that it can be fun, it can be funny, and it's okay to make mistakes. You know, we always make mistakes, and you can laugh at them, you know, and that's okay. So in my classes, there's no secret or anything. Like, I just try to make my classes flow naturally as possible. And I try to make them not about me, but about my students. They are the star of my classes, you know. It's all about them, their lives, their interests, what they do, and, you know, what they like to do. And I have them run the show, and I show them, and not really me, but they do that themselves, that, you know, speaking English can be something that's natural, you know, something that it doesn't have to be stressful. It can be, you can talk about light stuff, and you can you know, basically what I do is to normalize speaking English. A lot of times my students, they come to me like really tense and then being very insecure and then thinking that their English is not good enough and that they make mistakes and that they are, you know, not, they are embarrassed to speak. And then I just show them by having regular conversations with them. And of course, like bringing some material and then teaching them some grammar lessons and also like giving them the necessary corrections, which I think is really important. But also just normalizing the conversation, and then they start seeing that, wow, I'm speaking, I'm having a normal conversation with someone. And, you know, even though I make some mistakes and even though it's not perfect, but the other person can understand me completely. And then there's, you know, the communication is flowing. Basically, that's what I do. And I get a lot of, you know, results from that. I get happy students and students who understand that, you know, they understand the importance of practice, of doing their part, you know, doing their homework, and just like immersing themselves with the language. Because the more you do, the more normal it becomes, and it's not just a big deal, you know. And they start seeing that it's not a monster. It's not something that is scary. It's just, you can do it. Anyone can do it. You know, you just... So I'm sort of a therapist sometimes, you know, because I help them work through their insecurities and, you know, like their sometimes feelings of embarrassment. And then I have to just be there and listen. And, you know, I think that calms them down and makes them relaxed to really just flow with the conversation. And I believe in the power of doing, you know, like, you want to learn how to do something, you just do it. And, you know, and I think that's true with English.
I totally agree. Just do it. That's so inspiring.
Thank you, Felipe, firstly, for your lovely introduction, and it's nice to know that we're reaching out to people and that you appreciate what we're doing. So thank you very much for that. I think Felipe had some amazing tips there. Really nice to hear his experience and how it was for him, his journey through this learning and teaching English world. What he said about a guide, I found that really nice. Have a guide, someone who can help you through that journey and that you can trust and that you know will always be there for you.
I absolutely agree with you, Em. We are guides and we need to navigate our students on the treacherous journey along the river of experience until we reach the island of happiness and bliss where we can all communicate with each other without making too many mistakes.
Wow. Okay. You're talking about like grammar crocodiles on the way and vocabulary.
Piranhas.
Piranhas. I love your metaphors.
So as I was listening to Felipe's talk, I made a few notes and divided it into 5 points. Now, point one, teachers are learners. Point two, using technology. Number three, laugh at your mistakes. Four, flow. Five, language to talk about experience. So we're going to come back to analyse some of the key language that Felipe used to talk about his own experience, his own journey through learning and teaching.
Sounds good. What was the first one?
Teachers are learners.
Teachers are learners. You don't know it all. You never know it all. You should never come across as being a know-it-all. But then you want to sound or you want to look like you know what you're talking about. It's a balance, isn't it, Gav? I really think this is a very fine line between being patronising or condescending and being open to the fact that you don't know it all.
What are your opinions on fake it till you make it, Em?
I'm not a big fan of fake it till you make it because you can never really do it and somebody's going to find out and then you're going to just look worse if you kind of blag the whole thing of knowing how to use third conditional and then when it comes to it, you really can't. Students will know. Somebody will know.
What do you mean by blag, Em?
Blag, when you pretend that you know something and you just keep going and hope nobody notices.
Aha.
I did do it in my early days and that high adrenaline, high octane feeling was not pleasant. I felt like any minute I was going to fall out of the roller coaster and go smashing into the ground of being found out to be fake. Yeah.
And your roller coaster metaphor is a job interview or teaching or what did you mean exactly?
I wasn't thinking of an interview, but it does apply to that as well. I was thinking just being in a lesson, having to teach something, not being completely sure. And I remember at the time when I felt like this, when I was quite insecure, I remember going to teachers, other teachers' lessons, watching their lessons. And one particular teacher said, "We're all students here, including me." And I just found that absolutely incredible that she had the guts or the courage to admit that to her students. And I, at the time, felt like she was making them doubt her or that maybe they didn't think she was a good teacher. But they absolutely loved her and they loved her honesty and they loved the fact that she didn't know everything and that if she didn't know it, she would go and find out or that she would do that much work before the lesson to make sure she knew as much as she could. But there were still some gaps. But she was very open and very frank with them. And I really, in the end, I envied her for that because I never felt confident enough to say to my students, I don't know what I'm talking about. But now I do. Now I've been teaching for all this time. I'm quite happy to say, I don't know what I'm talking about. And I think that is in itself confidence to do that.
So perhaps we can say preparation, preparation, preparation instead of fake it till you make it.
But you can only prep as much as time allows. There's still going to be days where you really aren't sure and there's no crime in that. If you just say, well, I've done this much work, but I didn't quite look at that bit and forgive me, you know, I'm human. I don't think there's many people that would hold that against you.
You made some really good points there, Em. So number two, using technology. And thank you, Felipe, for mentioning our audio scripts. Please, if you're interested in seeing the transcription of what Gav and Em and all their guests are talking about, please take a look. You can find a link in the show notes to the transcriptions for each episode. So go and have a look. So Felipe is very present on social networks, Em. He uses Instagram and TikTok especially. He's got over 6 million likes, which is incredible. In fact, Em, I'd quite like to show you one of Felipe's videos and maybe you can explain to us what is so appealing, captivating and educational about Felipe's posts.
Nice.
All right, so when you're coming to New York, we miss you here. Come and follow the same thing in English. Broken. Sorry, I'm broken. You're broken. What do you mean?
Oh, that's great. I really enjoyed that. So Felipe has great acting skills. He's playing two characters very convincingly, having a conversation, and one asks the other if they're going to visit him in New York. And the guy he asks somebody in Portuguese, how do you say, I've got no money? And the reply, I think it's like Googled, is I'm broken. Felipe then explains that broken isn't the right word, that you should say I'm broke. And then he gives a lot of different phrases that all mean the same thing. And they're amazing and very idiomatic.
It's a really clever way to engage your students, because you might naturally go to a translation app and see what this expression is. And it might come up with the wrong word. And then if you use that wrong word, the other person's going to think, what? That doesn't mean what you're trying to say. And Felipe finds a great way to explain to us our mistake and what we can say instead.
It's very memorable. And also just the difference, because you might think, well, that's close enough, isn't it? Broke, broken. But it is very, very different.
So that takes us immediately into part three, which is laugh at your mistakes. And Felipe's sketches are exactly this. We can reflect on the mistakes that we make, and we can learn from them, and we can enjoy them. They are quite funny. I know sometimes I hold back from laughing at my students because I don't want them to feel uncomfortable. But sometimes they do laugh at their own mistakes, and it's okay. It's just fun.
So if they laugh, you can laugh with them. But I wouldn't laugh before they laugh. I think that's cruel.
Yeah, you have to be very careful. I have had to kind of hold my face in my hands and just say, I think you need to phrase that differently, because that means something very different in English.
Yeah.
So part four is flow. Now, what did Felipe mean about the flow of the lessons?
I think when you're in it, you're not really aware of being in a lesson. You're not really looking at the clock, thinking about after the lesson what you're going to be doing, or thinking about anything else, really. You're just in the moment, aren't you? And it's all working, and it's easy, and it's enjoyable. These are all very important, but very difficult to achieve if you force them. You can't just look at your students and say, enjoy yourself, have fun. It doesn't work like that. You have to actually build it and make it and create a situation where it happens. I'm not sure you can even really break down all the component parts of it. It just does happen. And when it happens, it's wonderful.
It's about that engagement. It's about finding what the student wants to talk about, sharing those experiences and making happy students.
I really think it's a lot to do with the environment, though, and having that atmosphere that Felipe sounds like he creates is that very relaxed environment where your students feel they're coming into, or they're turning on their computer and they're having a chat with someone they like and that they feel comfortable with, and they're not scared to talk, or it's not some weird English book, now it's your turn type thing where they just have to come out with the language that they've learned in a kind of parrot fashion. That it is real and it's about their lives and everybody is on the same page.
So it could be just a matter of working through their insecurities and the challenges and difficulties they might face with speaking English until you get to
the Nirvana moment.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to maybe expand a little bit on the working through the insecurities, because I think Felipe touched on that. Sometimes it's just about not acknowledging it and acting like your student speaking English is the most natural and normal thing for them to be doing, not looking at them like, wow, you're doing it, you know, and making it a big deal. It's just a conversation and it's what you came here to do. So I think that can also help. Not bringing attention to those insecurities is also working through them.
That sounds exactly like what Felipe's doing, Em. So now we can switch to part five, which is language to talk about experience. So as teachers, as employees, maybe we're thinking about going to an interview, maybe we're thinking about getting some new students or looking for a teacher, we need to use some key language. And what I did, Em, is I really analysed some of the grammar and vocabulary that Felipe used in his introduction. And I thought I'd share it with you, and you can explain why he decided to use some of these expressions. So let's begin with, I've always been passionate about English.
This would mean that from day one, Felipe loved English and still loves English now.
So it's an action that started at the absolute beginning of his life, and it continues to the present and probably into the future. This is the use of present perfect. I recognise this, Em.
Yeah, nice example.
He also said, I've always liked learning the language, but I've never had someone to guide me.
So it's the same, really. Just from day one, the love was there, but the negative also, nobody helped. Nobody guided him. So he did it all himself. And that is emphasised, I think, in that statement.
That's it, because I think he was talking about how these days we can look at social media and you've got loads of inspiring people to guide you on your learning language journey.
Yes.
He also said, I've lived in the US. I went there to study business management.
So that experience happened in the past, but he brought it with him now. He uses it. It's there still, relevant now, every day.
And specifically, he mentions, I went there to study business management. So this gives us an idea that he has some real insights into teaching and learning business skills. Some other key phrases were, that's one of the reasons why I became a teacher. That's a nice expression, isn't it?
Very nice. There are many reasons, but this one is one I want to tell you about.
And English is about experiencing the language. Is about, plus verb ing.
This makes it more like a thing that you can actively participate in.
So by using English, you will improve your skills. I think I agree with Felipe there.
Totally.
Now, Em, I've added a couple of sentences. We might want to say, I've been working in education for over 15 years now, so why would we use this?
You would be highlighting the length of time that your job has lasted and that the experience you have is building your knowledge and making you more informed.
Yeah. So you're using present perfect continuous, especially with verbs like working, living, developing, improving. But remember, Em, don't use present perfect continuous with state verbs.
No, you can't say I've been knowing English all my life.
Exactly. Other verbs might be to like, to enjoy, to be. That's it. Be careful with those state verbs in the continuous form. They just don't work. Moving on, Em. I was so inspired by the quiz that you gave me during episode 7. Do you remember that one?
EdTech.
That's it. I have made my own quiz for you using quizzes, quizizizz.com, and prepared some questions for you to answer, all on the language of experience. So talking about your own experience, about your work or your personal life. And these are some of the expressions and phrases that we might use. So let's begin. Question one. Now I'm going to read a sentence. There is a gap and there is a multiple choice preposition answer. So listen carefully. I've got wide experience, blank, the corporate teaching industry. I've got wide experience, blank, the corporate teaching industry. Do you want to hear the choices?
Yeah.
At, with, on, or in?
It's actually quite hard. I think it's in.
Can you give me the sentence?
I've got wide experience in the corporate teaching industry.
Let's have a look. Congratulations, it's the right answer. Well done, Em.
And it is true. I have got wide experience in the corporate teaching industry. I've taught in IT, pharmaceuticals, law, lots and lots of amazing places.
So that's a great phrase for you to use when talking about your experience. Before I ask the next question, Em, give me some collocations with the word experience.
I don't know why the first one I think of is a lack of experience. That says a lot about me, I guess. But yeah, a lack of experience. What does it mean, Gav?
Not having enough for that required opportunity.
Yeah. Which you could argue is just another opportunity to learn more. you could continue the sentence with, I have a lack of experience in something, but I'm going to learn about it.
Or you could not use but, and you could say, and that's why I would like to work for your company, or I would like to study on your language training course.
Yes, that's good, actually. And as a linker rather than but. Good point.
Any others?
I would say buckets of experience.
Buckets? That sounds very informal.
It is. Buckets of experience, like lots of experience. The same is an abundance of experience, which sounds very formal.
That does. So both have the same meaning, but maybe used in different circumstances.
Yeah, so maybe to my friends, I would say I have buckets of experience teaching English in other countries. But to a manager or a potential employer, I would say I have an abundance of teaching experience in other countries.
Sweet. Any others?
I'm running out a little bit.
Well, how about I ask you the next question? Here we go. Question two. Which of these words do not collocate with experience? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Gain, first hand, hands on, previous, elephant, invaluable, hair raising, and sobering.
They all collocate. You can have elephant experience if you've worked in a zoo.
You can't have elephant experience.
If the zookeeper says, do you have experience with elephants? You say, I've got elephant experience. But no, it isn't a common, let's say, not a common collocation. The others are all common collocations. I want to have elephant experience.
Sure. Question three. Which expression does the picture show? Now, I have to describe the pictures to you first. The first one is a person looking up and there is a light bulb above their head.
Right, right.
That's picture A. Picture B is somebody sitting at their desk and they are very, very unhappy. I think it's a business situation. So that's B. C is somebody holding their hands in a cross position. They're saying, no, thank you. That's C. Okay. So can you remember the pictures? What was picture A?
Light bulb above the head.
B.
Sad person sitting at a desk.
C.
Crossed hands saying no.
So remember, these expressions all typically go with describing experience. The first one is, I decided to.
I think that's the light bulb. That's like a decision is made or an idea has formed and the action is going to happen.
That's it. The second one is, I resisted the urge to.
Crossed hands, like, I don't want it. Not for me, no.
So how would you use that talking about experience?
I resisted the urge to take an easy job for a bad salary.
Oh, interesting. And finally, I ended up.
I ended up is the person at the desk who's probably not very happy and had a different idea at the beginning or different plan that didn't work out.
So we're describing how after taking a job and this job was not the right one for me. So I ended up in the wrong job, for example.
I ended up making beds instead of teaching English at the summer school.
That would be a good example.
Yeah, which is true. That did happen once. Be careful with summer schools. They're very varied.
Are these collocations with experience? Good?
Good experience, yes.
Bad? Draw on?
Draw on experience, yes. That means to use and implement past experience, like you're drawing water from a well. Imagine your English is in a container and you're dipping in and taking out what you know and using it.
I always think of draw on meaning to pull, like a horse pulling a cart.
Yeah, it's the same, like pulling a bucket out of a well. See, it's not connected to drawing, like with pencils and pens. It's a bit confusing, isn't it? Draw on experience. That's strange.
That's a different meaning completely.
Yeah.
How about relevant?
Yes, relevant experience is useful and current.
Example?
If you want a job teaching in a hospital, you would need to have some experience teaching medical English or doctors, perhaps. That would be relevant experience.
Good example. Part four is which of these expressions talk about past experience? Ready?
Yeah.
In hindsight.
Yes.
Looking back.
Yes.
On reflection.
Yes.
Looking forward.
No.
Oh, you spotted it.
Looking forward is future. But yeah, I like those. They're nice. In hindsight, on reflection. On reflection, I think doing the CELTA was a good idea.
Finally, I've got long experience, gap, teaching multi-level English learners. What's our missing preposition, Em? Is it of, in, on, at? I've got long experience, blank, teaching multi-level English learners.
I don't usually use long experience, but okay. I've got long experience in teaching multi-level English learners.
Oh no, Em, you made a mistake right at the end. You fell at the final hurdle. The incorrect answer was long experience of teaching multi-level English learners.
Oh dear. I don't say it very often, but I should know the right preposition, shouldn't I?
Oh, well, prepositions are tricky for everybody. As we said, we're all learners.
Yeah, we are. We all make mistakes. So there we go.
Well, thanks, Em. I really enjoyed you answering the questions in my quiz, and I think I'm going to give you a B.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the B.
Thanks also to Kate at Enguru. And thank you to freecollocation.com, where we borrowed some of the expressions and terms from them to talk about experience. And finally, we can now introduce the final part of the show, which is, do you remember?
Yes, I do. It's
Teacher Teach Me.
This week's teacher is Meshkat from English with Meshkat, and she is explaining the difference between those confusing words like anywhere, nowhere, somewhere.
Hi Gabe and Em, this is Meshkat from English with Meshkat on Instagram. Do you know the difference somewhere, anywhere, nowhere, or everywhere? Somewhere means in or to a place, but you don't know say or know where. For example, they are somewhere in the Sahara Desert. Anywhere is used in question and negative sentence. For example, is there a house anywhere on the island? I can't see a house anywhere. Nowhere means in no place. For instance, there is nowhere to stay in this region. And everywhere. Everywhere means in every place. For example, there are rocks everywhere on the beach.
Thanks so much, Meshkat. That's a really memorable way to remember the differences between those really confusing and similar words. And there are some really useful examples with the target language too. So go and find Meshkat at English with Meshkat on Instagram. And also don't forget to take a look at Felipe's links. You can find him on TikTok under Ingles com Felipe and on Instagram at Ingles com Felipe 1.
Everything will be in the show notes.
Thanks for your time, Em. Good stuff and well done. Thank you for helping me with today's episode, Em. It was a great experience.
Nice. Finish, Gav. Thank you. See you next time.
See you later.